Blog Talk Radio.
Are you part of the Me Too movement? Finding your voice and speaking up is actually only the beginning. The question then becomes, what next? Hint, hint, it might have something to do with love. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love mentor, and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the Healing Through Love lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. As a sexual abuse survivor, Carolyn Hauser began her own blossom journey on the floor of her bathroom when she realized that binging and purging would eventually end her life. That was the moment when she committed to open her heart to love in all its forms. As a naturopathic doctor, humanistic psychotherapist, and women's empowerment expert, she takes women from the Me Too to discovering what's next. Welcome, Carolyn Hauser. I look forward to speaking with you.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So let's begin. Like, please tell us about your early background and what led to your specific education and training, and then what was your turning point? How did it all come about?
Yeah, you already shared a little bit about that. So, you know, obviously I wasn't a little girl thinking, oh, my dream is to help people heal sexually. I actually didn't have any memories of my sexual abuse until in my late 20s. And so for me, I was suffering from up to 10 or 11 till into my early 20s. And I tried everything that my parents mostly could find, and nothing helped. And then I had my wind in the bathroom. I had just eaten a bunch of food and was using a toothbrush to try to get the food to come out of me, and the toothbrush got stuck, and for a moment I really thought I was, you know, my life was over. And that kind of shocked me into what you had shared in the introduction, really realizing that I really needed to change something. And I think it created an opening, and then family constellation was introduced to me through my mother, and I went and had an experience, a weekend workshop, and within 6 months I was healed. It just left me. The eating disorders just left me. You know, something that I tried to overcome for years and years with my own willpower and never accomplished, and it just left me. So it was a big miracle for me. And at that point in my life, I still didn't quite know what to do and what I should do with my life. And I was waiting tables, and I was waiting tables one afternoon, and there was not a lot of there were just not a lot of guests in the restaurant. It was kind of dead. And a friend of a friend came by and just kept me some company. And we got to talking, and I shared the story with him. And he said, oh, my God, if this has been possible for you, you need to learn this. And so that's kind of what pushed me then into becoming a naturopathic doctor and humanistic psychotherapist. And I was actually one of the youngest naturopathic doctors in Germany when I graduated. And And then I spent my entire 20s basically learning about healing and family constellations, and I fell in love with an American and ended up in California, which actually, in hindsight, was a big... I didn't know that I wanted to go to California, but I always wanted to be in a sunnier climate. I'm from Germany originally. And so came to California, fell out of love with that relationship, met somebody else, got pregnant, had my first daughter, and with her turning 3, it triggered... So I was when she turned 3, I was about 30, to turn 30. That triggered my memory of sexual, and because what I then found out was that for me it had happened or started when I was 3. So with turning 3, that triggered that memory. And so I had her, and I had her to take care of, and I had already started building my business, and finding out really threw me for a hoop. And at the same time, it felt like, you know, with having spent my whole 20s learning about healing, that was really part of my... It was part of my purpose to create a healing journey, not just for myself. And so that's what I did with Blossom. I created the healing journey, and I took a group of women through it with me. And then I put it, so I had a concept, and then I took people on the journey, women, and then I created the book. And so the book is really intended for someone, excuse me, to not just read about something, but really go on a deeply transformative journey. And it's organized in 7 weeks or 7 steps, so that it's really easy to do, and there's things to do for every day, but we'll talk about that more. So that's how I got involved.
Hi, well, I want to go back a little further. And at what point did you study family constellations? Was this before you did the other training?
Yes.
And so tell us a little about what that is, what that involves. Because if it was talking about families, right, and family issues, why did you not have that revelation about the abuse while you were going through that?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. So for constellations, just to explain in brief, I'm going to share what I experienced that weekend. So I went to the weekend workshop. I didn't know anybody else. There were about 16 other people. And they all had different issues. Some had, you know, some were going through cancer, others were going through a divorce, all kinds of issues. And we didn't really know each other than we knew what we were here for to work on. And I was there to work on the eating disorders. And so when it came my time, the facilitators, they were a couple leading this workshop, they asked me to pick people from the room, from the circle, basically, to represent for my issue. And the name Family Constellations is a little misleading because... while it was discovered in family therapy, the method actually works to really anything. You know, a really better name for it is systematic constellation. And the reason why it's called constellating is because you're literally asking people to represent for your issues. So I asked these different people to, one to be my mother, one to be my father, and then my siblings and the eating disorders. And then you place them in the room, so you create a spatial dynamic, basically. And then the facilitator just interviews these people, and the magic comes from these people, the strangers, knowing things about you and your issues that you know, are buried deep down in your subconscious that you do know somehow, but you don't have access to. And so with what this work has revealed is that there's a knowing field that we all have access to, and with somebody who is skilled in this, they can extract the knowledge out of the field through either using other people or... you know, stepping in themselves. So today, I do work in groups, and I also do this just by myself for people, and people just, you know, receive it, basically. So the big revelation in that constellation for me was that the eating disorder was actually the thing keeping me alive. You know, I had been fighting against it, thinking this is the thing that's killing me, when in reality and in truth what came out was that it was the thing that's kept me alive. And then also, constellations, in the constellations, they always give you what you're ready for and what's your first step in kind of, or the next step on your healing journey. So I guess for mm-hmm. me, you know, the universe knows what's most efficient. So for me to heal for the eating disorders, it wasn't necessary to know about the sexual abuse. What was necessary, apparently, for me was to realize that the eating disorder was the thing that's kept me alive. And then that shifted the entire dynamic, you know.
Wow, you know, that's powerful what you're saying, because I've heard that before with drug addiction. I heard mm-hmm. someone who was addicted to heroin, and she said, you know, that saved her life. And people
yeah.
don't think of it that way. They
no.
think you're taking
because
this terrible thing.
Because it gives you something to do. Yeah.
Right, even people smoking. There's a book all about, you know, easy way to stop smoking and saying it's terrible and it doesn't do anything for you. But it does do something for people. It's their friend at
yeah.
the moment. It's what they can rely on. So that's powerful
yeah.
what you shared. All right, so then just briefly share, you know, how did you get into naturopathic medicine? Tell us what that was like and what that's about.
So in Germany, in order to practice, so first of all, I'm a high school dropout, so I was not able to go to a university and study psychology. So I needed to find a way to circumvent the system, and I'm really happy that I you know that that's the case, because, you know, and I mean, you know, my dream when I was little was actually to study medicine and to become a pediatrician to work with children, and so since I dropped out of high school, that path was kind of closed down. But in Germany, we have a system that is there is a class of practitioners right below medical doctors, which is the naturopathic doctor. And as a naturopathic doctor, you're allowed to do pretty much anything a doctor does, aside from treating infectious diseases and performing surgery. And those are not things I wanted to do anyways. And so for me, basically, mm-hmm. the way to circumvent the system was to get that license. And it would allow me to, you know, it would allow me, or in Germany, I would be allowed to practice psychotherapy while touching people, right, which is in most countries is not allowed. There's no license unless you, you know, your minister may be here in the States or, yeah. So anyways, with that license,
Carolyn,
it allowed me to.
Carolyn, let me say something, that I'm one of the unusual people touching
exactly.
people and doing counseling, because I have a massage
yes.
license. I purposely,
yeah.
not that I do massage, but I got that license to protect me. So,
yeah.
so I understood.
Yeah,
that.
So you know what I'm talking about. It's a little tricky.
Yes.
To, and you know, and I had, you know, once you know how important it is to work with the body and the spirit, you know, it's like, okay, how
mm-hmm.
can I find a way to do that, actually? How can I serve people?
Yeah.
yeah.
Wonderful.
So that, yeah.
All right.
Kind of how.
And so what happened? Your daughter was, you said, 3 years old, and suddenly,
mm-hmm.
how did you suddenly remember that you had been sexually abused?
Well, I started having a feeling and a knowing, and also during that time I was part of a women's group, and there were several women who were going through, like, them remembering and working through it, and so I asked them, like, you know, the universe is fabulous. It always helps you and, you know, has the resources right at hand, right? It's never happened since then that I'm surrounded by women that are going through the same thing. So it must have
mm-hmm.
been conspiring for me. And they were,
right.
one of them was working with a shaman who had helped her recover memories. So I went and had a session with him, and he helped me recover the memories. And, you know, so with recovered memories, we always... we never know, really. We don't know 100% what our brain actually fabricated and so forth. So in my work, when people come, what I work with is basically the symptomology, right? If somebody is triggered by thinking about sexual abuse, if anything sexual triggers you and so forth, that's, to me, that is proof enough that something happened, and we don't really need to know the details, because most of my work is really with helping the nervous system to heal. And in order to do that, you don't know that you don't need the stories, you don't need to have the memories, and none of that is necessary. And so while I do have some memories, you know, I really started working more with my imprints and my feelings and so forth.
That's really powerful. I mean, it's important to know certain things, to understand your background, to understand that something happened, you know, so that you can work with it, but not to dwell
yeah.
on it. And and to place blame on the past and all of that is not helpful.
Oh, no, it's really not. It's really not bringing us in a place of power.
Mm-hmm. So now I want to ask how you got to the next level. How did you start to focus on love? I mean, how did this all shift? And did you go through some process, you know, understanding all of this?
So the first step was really sitting down, writing the book and you know, compiling it and conceiving of it and then teaching it and then writing it. And, you know, that was a year and a half process. And because obviously when you write a book and you go public, you know, there's issues with that. So,
yeah.
You know, I was actually really blessed because I was able to go back to Germany during that time. And I mean, I went actually back intentionally to just be around my family and really work on myself and see while being around my family how far I really had gotten, right? Because it's a good indicator that when you can be around your family and be at peace, that something in you has really shifted. And,
uh-huh.
And so in the end, actually, my brother and his wife helped with the design for the cover, and they really did an amazing job. I had a lot of conversations with my mother and my father, and you know, it was a whole process of a year and a half with, you know, me birthing the book and them witnessing it and supporting it and, you know, being afraid at first and you know, all of that. So we worked through it together, which was very beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And then, the book, you know, I published the book 6 years ago, so it was a while ago. And it got a lot of support, actually, from people. And I was, you know, I was not as supported as now, but for the most part, men were really supportive. So I would do book signings, and you know, I would get a small number of people, but anything I did, there was always one or two men who came up to me and said, oh my God, like, keep doing this. This is so important. You know, my sister, my wife, my mother. So there was a lot of support. And then in my own journey, go ahead.
I would like to react to that, what
yeah.
you said about men, because there's something going on, I think, with the Me Too movement and with a lot of women speaking up, and there's hostility toward men, and there's an attitude that, you know, men are doing the wrong thing, and yet there's so many caring men, and they're not getting a voice. So I like that you're sharing that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and then for me, actually, I had another... I had a physical breakdown. I had a second baby, and when I got pregnant the first time, my first husband, we were a really good team, and I really liked him, but it was not the love of my life, and it was really clear, and he knew it, and I knew it, but we had children together, and we were doing our best, but so we had, you know, we didn't have that big emotional bond, and we were going through a lot of financial pressures with him being the only one working in Santa, you know, supporting a family in Santa Barbara can be really challenging. And then not really sleeping with the second baby. So I had a complete physical breakdown and was diagnosed with adrenal burnout and chronic fatigue. I was home with the kids and I just couldn't do it anymore because I literally had no ounce of energy left. And so he came home one night, and I said to him, I can't do this anymore. And he just said, oh, you wanted to be a mother, not meaning anything bad. And with him saying that, I actually left my I had a complete breakdown, left my body, and kind of looked down from the ceiling down to my body. My kids were laying on top of me and crying and not understanding what was happening. I wasn't understanding what was happening. And for a moment, I was just really done with everything. But then a voice started appearing and saying, Carolyn, your work isn't done. And I was sent back into my body. And for a whole week, I was suspended in a state of complete harmony, where everything was really entirely clear to me. And I could see during that week how I was allowing negativity to enter my system, my nervous system, my thought system, and how that was kind of poisoning me and dragging me down, and how me allowing this negative energy into my field was really responsible for me experiencing this lack in all areas of my life. And so that's when, after that experience, it's really started, my life really started to transform rapidly and really visibly, because up until that point, I hadn't made a lot of money. You know, I wasn't happy in my relationship. I was very happy about my children and so forth. You know, there were a lot of things to be grateful for, and I was clear on my purpose. But so with that, then I decided to leave my marriage. I'm now married to my true soulmate and the love of my life, and I've built a multi six-figure company. I'm serving worldwide. I'm in the process of publishing a second book, and owning a house in the Caribbean. So, and obviously my health has completely turned around. So that was really the biggest breakthrough so far, because it really gave me something practical and something that I can teach and have been teaching for the last 5 years, which is basically that we do need a new kind of intelligence. It's pleasure intelligence. And as long as you're blocked from your own pleasure and your sense of what feels good and right for you, which most people that have experienced abuse are, it's very hard to really create the dream life that you were talking of.
Hmm. So something that you've said is that getting validation and voicing your anger is only the starting point for healing from trauma or anything else. So talk a little more about that.
Yeah, so because true healing comes from healing your nervous system. So when trauma happens, what most people don't understand is that it's not a mental health issue. It's not a mental issue, not a psychological issue, or it's not even an emotional issue. I always give the picture of your body is literally your house. It's where your spirit and your soul lives and while you're on this earth. And trauma is like lightning striking a house that wasn't properly, you know, wired for having that experience. And so when lightning strikes a house, parts of the house and the electrical wiring might catch on fire. They might, you know, the cables might melt down, the circuits break. And after that has happened, the energy in the house cannot flow properly anymore, and nothing in the house is going to work the way it was before. And so it's the same with your physical body. And so voicing your anger can make you feel strong and can give you a sense of power. And it's definitely a step up from being stuck in shame and guilt and not talking and feeling bad about yourself. But in terms of really mending the spaces in your body, you know, that have melted down and have broken down, it does not do that, right? There's something else that's required to actually heal your nervous system. And hand in hand with that goes, in order to heal your nervous system, you do not have to re-experience being hit by lightning, right? A lot of people have so much fear to even go there and to start the healing because they think they have to go through the experience of being hit by lightning again. But the opposite is actually the case. You know, in order to heal your nervous system, you need to learn what these triggers feel like in your body, and then you need to learn a practice like somatic experiencing, what you're probably teaching, to help you transform the stuck negative energy into positive energy. It's an alchemical process that only you can do with your own body, and it's very non-threatening.
Wow, that's beautiful. And what it reminds me of is that I remember attending a conference in Primal Scream, and people were involved in Primal Scream therapy for decades. And I saw that they were still screaming, still banging and screaming. And it was the most unfriendly, unsocial group I had ever attended.
Yeah.
So I saw that something wasn't right, that yes, they got those feelings out, but they hadn't healed.
Exactly, yeah. So when I went to my training, I did everything. And in the moment, it felt good. And for a couple of days, it felt good. And then you feel like, you know, crap again. And it is because it actually just reinforces and re-injures the nervous system, right? It just rests up your energy. And then it doesn't mend the places where the nervous system is damaged. So I'm really not a fan of any kind of cathartic for that reason anymore.
Right. So I had a direct experience of that many times. And then you talk about integration. So tell us what that, how that comes about, what that looks like.
Yeah. So imagine when the trauma has happened, it's almost like you've been given this big bite to eat that's sitting in your stomach. It's like a rock. You've been forced to swallow a rock, you know, something that your stomach really can't digest, and now it's sitting in your stomach, and you're using most of your energy to kind of pretend it's not there. You know, that's what most people do, and it takes a lot of energy and doesn't leave you energy for really creating your life. And so with integration, what you'll learn is to, you will learn to teach your body how to digest this thing bit by bit. And you do it by putting your attention, you know, if we stay with the rock, you would digest it by tending to it and putting your attention on it and feeling it. And your attention, like water, over time would like wash it into sand. And then the sand can be transported out of your system, can become part of your flesh, can become part of your muscles, and can just, it will be smaller and smaller and less of a bothersome thing in your stomach. And slowly but surely, it will be metabolized basically by you and integrated into your being. And obviously, I'm using, you know, physical metaphors. We're talking about energetic things, but it's very much like that.
Wow, I'm finding that amazing. The analogies that you're using are so helpful.
Thanks.
Because they make it so clear. Because one of the things about healing, I did a whole summit called Miraculous Healing. One of the things about it is it is usually not instant. It's usually something that's a process that takes time. And people do it in little pieces. And that's why... But our society wants everything immediate, so they may not value this. But you're just reminding us of how healing really works.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't have to take long. That's why I shared my story and really what happened in my life, because, you know, for that transformation, it took 3 years, and 3 years in the greater scheme of things. If you know, I sometimes show pictures from before and after. People do not recognize me anymore. I look like a complete different person, and it happened within 3 years of, you know, applying these principles. And the beautiful thing, though, is that it puts the power back in your hands, because you're the only one that can integrate this into, you know, you're the only one. It's in you, so you're the only one that has the material to integrate it, and you have the power to do so. We don't have power to change what happened. We don't have power to change the circumstances. We don't have power to change other people. But we do have power over changing our own vibrational frequency and our own state. And the way to do so is by learning to transform this negative stuff into positive. And it's extremely powerful.
Absolutely. So, but you're making light of it. You said it took 3 years. People want it to be done. I remember somebody coming for counseling for a sexual problem in New York, and his girlfriend was downstairs. He said, you know, can you help fix me in this hour? My girlfriend's waiting for me downstairs. You know, that's what people want.
Yeah.
Just fix it. Yeah. And they don't realize there's a certain amount of time involved. You know?
Yeah.
So that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's worth taking that time, though, because to fix it is just, you know, it's a short-term thinking, because what good is it if you fix something for right now and then you keep having it for the rest of your life, or you spend a little time and then you're free for the rest of your life? Like, which one, you know, if you really knew, which one would you choose and believe that was possible?
It's like choosing a Band-Aid just to cover it rather than really fixing it.
Yeah.
All right,
and some of it is people don't know that it's really possible to completely fix it, right? So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm sharing with people, and I'm giving my example. And obviously, I've helped a lot of people. It's not just my story. There are many stories like that, so that people can see that it's really possible.
That's an important point. They have to know it's possible,
and
they have to get the support, because there's a lot of people around you that don't believe it's possible,
exactly,
or don't want you to change and keep you, you know, it's beautiful what you're doing. So tell us about your 7-step blossom program.
Yeah, so the 7 steps, the first step is bringing your mind on board, which has to do with overcoming resistance. When you're trying to change, and most people have experienced this, the first thing that you will encounter is resistance. So we address it right away up front, so it can't stop you. And then the second step is landing within yourself, learning to be in your body, because you need your body to later do the integration. third step is opening to your intuition, which also will help you to be more in your body. The fourth step is seeing with your eyes of truth, really reframing your experience so that you can get into a place of power where you can see that even though this happened to you, this is not a death sentence. You know, there is something in it. For me, it helped me get into my power, you know, and that's how it is for most people. When you can really embrace it, you can see how the experience really helped you get into your power. And then five is stretch beyond your limits. That's when I actually teach you the integration, the transforming the negative into the positive. And then step six is own all of who you are, really making peace with the different energies and learning about your feminine and masculine, which is really important in terms of how you are in relationships and creating successful relationships. And then step seven is meet the world and your beloved in wholeness. And that step is really about taking it out into the world and how to interact from this new place with the people in your life and creating new opportunities for yourself.
Wow, and that last piece, do people have setbacks when they're finally trying to reach out to others?
They might learn about the dynamics of the feminine and the masculine. You know, when there's a setback, that it's just an indicator that you were falling back into an old pattern of relating. Right? As women, we get in conflict with men, mostly because we are coming from a masculine place, and for someone who has experienced trauma, it's usually safer to either be in your wounded feminine or in the masculine, which both are not attractive places to a healthy man. And so I teach people to use their relationships and the feedback that they're getting to really as a way to gauge their own energy and where they are in their own energy. And then I teach them, you know, how to obviously fix it so that they can be in the right energy. And so if you want to be in a healthy relationship with a man, ideally as a woman, you learn how to be in your strong feminine and how to relate to a man from that space. And when things go wrong, it's just a sign that, oops, I fell back into an old pattern.
Wow, your program sounds beautiful. Really healing. So glad you're offering this. And it's the attitude that you come from. It's a balanced perspective.
Thanks.
And
for me,
beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I feel that my purpose really is bringing, you know, the masculine and the feminine together in myself and in the world, because I believe that we're most powerful when we are in loving union, you know.
Absolutely. So rather than that confrontational attitude, that just perpetuates it further. Or it gets it started, but it doesn't solve it. So tell us how people can contact you, how they can get your book, how they might work with you.
The best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, which is Women in the Flow. On there, there's free gifts. There's a pleasure IQ test, so you can see how well you're doing with pleasure intelligence. I define the pleasure IQ as someone's ability, level of ability, to allow pleasure in all areas of your life. So you can take the test, and then I have two gifts. One is really knowing what's your true yes and no, which is a very important tool that will help you navigate your life. And then the other one is I'm actually giving the step five, the integration. It's an audio. It's a half-hour audio that's on my website for free also. So if you just go to my website and opt in for the free gift that's on there, you will get those three things, the Pleasure IQ quiz, the how to know your true yes and no, and how to integrate the negative into the positive. You'll get those three gifts. There's also a link to my free Facebook group, which is also Women in the Flow. I do daily Facebook Lives, and obviously it's a community where you'll find like-minded people. You can ask me questions. You can just connect with other like-minded women. And on the website, there's also the book, and you can read about me. And you can also find the book on Amazon. It's Blossom.
Wow.
It's the title. Yeah.
So do you have any final words for our listeners?
Yeah, I always like to end with just reminding everybody that while we don't have power over other people and other things, we do have power over our vibrational state. And if you You know, if you take one thing from today, if you learn to master your own vibrational state, your life can really look completely different, and it can look the way that you dream of. That's really the key to, you know, it's not about controlling your thoughts and then doing affirmations all day long. It's just really learning about handling your own energy and transforming yourself into a positive being.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn Houser, for participating in this interview today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to those of you listening, I look forward to speaking to you again soon.